Podcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of the Freaky as Fuck podcast. I'm your host, Sarai, and last week we started talking about the Pluta Caves disaster, where five Finnish divers would traverse the Pluta Caves to get to the Steinugaflaget cave on the other side. However, only three divers would survive the journey. So if you haven't checked out part one just yet, be sure to go back and give it a listen. But without further ado, let me just get right back into the story. So where we had last left off, surviving divers Patrick Gonkvist and Visa Rantanen had just come across their fellow diver Kai Kankanen at the Pluta pond. They had found him just kind of laying there on the floor, and when he had first seen the two, he was confused and didn't know who they were. Kankanen had just emerged from Pluta pond not too long ago after his 11.5 hour dive, which was initially supposed to take only 5 hours. Now, remember, Kankanen had decided to turn back around to the Pluta pond entrance rather than continue forward to the Steinugaflaget cave like his friends had decided to do. So at this point, Gronkvist and Rantanen had assumed that he had perished along with Jari Huatarinen and Jari Uusimaki. In the days following, all three divers were hospitalized for nitrogen narcosis, or decompression sickness, and an investigation was done by the Norwegian authorities on the deaths of Huatarinen and Uusimaki. Pluta Cave was shut off to the public. I had mentioned previously that Gronkvist and Kankanen had made the dive to Steinugaflaget cave before, and they had made the journey along with another diver by the name of Sami Pakarinen. At the time that all of this was happening, he had been teaching a diving course in Mexico, and he had said that he just took a look at his phone one day and he had seen that he had several missed calls and messages, and that's when he had learned of the accident. Pakarinen had trained both of the victims and considered them to be good friends of his, so he had felt really guilty about not being able to really do anything at that point in time. Meanwhile, the Norwegian authorities were trying to figure out how they were going to go about retrieving the bodies of Huatarinen and Uusimaki, and they decided to seek out the help of three British divers to do a recovery mission. The team consisted of Rick Stanton, who was world-renowned for his rescue and recovery work, and John Volanthin and Jason Mallinson. The team figured that it would be best to enter through Steinugaflaget to try and retrieve the bodies that way. However, when they got to Huatarinen's body, they found that they were unable to dislodge him from the site, also making it impossible to retrieve Uusimaki's body as it was on the other side. They considered going through the original point of entry in Pluta Pond and trying to retrieve the bodies that way, but it was ultimately decided that making that whole journey would be too dangerous, and the recovery mission was called off.
I'm Edward October, and I'm here at the October Pod Ranch in the Great Smoky Mountains. Almost every night here, there's a ghost story party around the campfire. In my family, we believe that scary stories are best told around a roaring fire with a bottle of wine. That's why bold individualists everywhere choose Oktoberpod for their retro horror thrills. Our stories are so good because they're told with such care, understated, moody, and above all, chilling. Why don't you join us for retro horror of impeccable taste? Choose Oktoberpod. Find us on YouTube or at OctoberPodVHS.com. OctoberPod, retro horror for bold individualists.
So the Norwegian authorities called off the recovery mission and everyone was left feeling just completely defeated. The three survivors were afraid that nothing else would be done and that their two friends would be forever stuck in the place that they had died in and that their families would never find peace. But the three friends, as well as Sami Pakarinen, weren't going to let it end that way, so they secretly convened behind the back of Norwegian authorities and devised a plan to retrieve their friends. They figured that they had a better chance, as they had all made the traverse once before. However, the journey wasn't any less dangerous. Their close connections to the victims would also pose as a risk, as there was always the chance that they could get upset, or worse, panic while handling the bodies, which would only result in either injury or more death. However, their dedication to bring their friends home to their families was much greater than their doubts. And on March 24th, 2014, 27 Finn and Norwegian volunteers all convened at Pluta Pond to conduct a final recovery mission that would last 5 days. There were two teams of divers who were stationed at the shallow levels of the caves, and Grankvis, Kankanen, and Pakarinen were to drive to the sites of the accidents to retrieve the bodies. Rantanen, who was still recovering and was unable to dive, was given the task of managing operations on land. The traverse would require more than a ton of gear. Gas cylinders were meticulously left at different sites within the caves, and they had even established an area for decompression stops. It was a pocket of air where divers were able to get out of the cold water, remove their gear, and eat if needed. So this was a rock-solid plan. They had thought of everything, and on the third day of the operation, they were finally ready to once again dive into the Pluta Caves. March 27th, 2014, after 2 days of preparation, the divers were ready to dive into the icy waters to retrieve Huatarinen and Uzumaki. Patrick Gankvist, Kai Kankanen, and Sami Pakarinen were the ones who were to dive to the accident sites where the bodies were located. However, after getting to about 85 meters in depth, Kankanen had returned to the surface as he just wasn't ready to make the journey again. And I mean, who could fucking blame him? Grankvist and Pankarinen were left to recover the bodies alone. They had found their friends' bodies right where they had left them just 7 weeks ago. They were able to successfully cut Huatarinen away from his equipment, and he was carefully navigated through the narrow passage. Grankvist then brought the body to the surface using the underwater scooter, and Pakarinen helped to maneuver from behind. Upon making it to the surface, Grankvist says, "I've been thinking about this every single night since I walked out of here."
Hi, listeners. We have a podcast to share with you that you can go binge over 50 episodes right now.
Every Thursday, we bring you a new episode filled with mysteries, conspiracies, and things that go bump in the night.
I'm Holly Lowerman.
And I'm Brooke Sasser.
And we are the hosts of Curly Conspiracies Podcast.
The name of our podcast stems from Weller Curly Hair and the idea that conspiracies and mysteries are never straightforward.
They take multiple twists, turns, have knots, and take a while to comb through.
We have some lighthearted topics such as Eminem is a clone, the Coca-Cola conspiracy, and even the Kentucky meat shower.
Some more serious topics like April is Blood Sacrifice Month, the Johnny Gosch disappearance, and the Nahanni Valley mystery.
We also have your classics like the conspiracy surrounding Princess Diana's death, Mothman, and the Roswell incident.
Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. So, go get your tinfoil hats ready and check out Curly Conspiracies Podcast.
They would return for Uzumaki the following day with the help of an additional diver by the name of Yane Santala. This time around, they would enter from Steinuglaflaget Cave. This time, it didn't go as smooth as the first, as they ran into some issues trying to navigate Uzumaki's body, and at some point, a part of the cave had actually collapsed on Pakarinen. But in the end, they were able to do what they needed to do, and after 101 hours of diving, the bodies of their friends were successfully recovered, and they were finally going to be put to rest. The following day, the authorities were notified of the recovery, but even though everyone commended them for what they did, they had unfortunately broken many laws, and another investigation ensued. But don't worry, because no charges would be filed, so that's good. The Finnish president actually even awarded Patrick Gankvist the First Class Medal of the White Rose of Finland. 2 months and 3 weeks after the accident, the bodies of Jari Huatarinen and Jari Uzumaki were transported back to Finland, where they were laid to rest. And that is the unfortunate story of the tragic deaths of Jari Huatarinen and Jari Uzumaki. Now, guys, there is video documentation of these dives, okay? And I wanted to get all of my research done before I watched them. And let me just say, these videos are haunting, like hauntingly beautiful and horrifying at the same time. Like, I felt so much uneasiness, especially watching videos from the first dive when, you know, the accidents happen, because you know what happens and you know how it ends. And not only that, the whole atmosphere, like they aren't kidding when they talk about how dark it is down there, because at some points you don't see anything but complete blackness. And the divers, they have lamps, obviously, because, I mean, they need to see where they're going. But like everywhere that their lights are shown, there was just like nothing. And in other parts, they're going through these passages and everything just looks so uncomfortably tight. It's just, it's insane. Now, the one that really fucked me up was one that Patrick Krankvist had recorded in late March. And it's showing him entering from Steinuglaflaget. And the entrance is literally just a hole at the top of like a hill or something, and the descent down to the water level takes about 20 minutes, and he gets this shot of him looking down the entrance to the cave. Oh my god. And it's just like this jagged drop, and there's just pointy rocks everywhere, and it's just, oh my goodness. But like, if you're interested in seeing clips of these dives, they are out there. In fact, I'll notate my sources, because there were two articles that I got a majority of my information from that has videos of both the first dive and the recovery dives, which are the videos I watched. But I think there's like a documentary out there about this, so I'm sure a quick Google search would pull it right up. But yeah, guys, I definitely had like jelly limbs researching this whole thing, because phew, my palms are so sweaty right now. If you'd like to interact with me on Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at freakyafpod, that's FreakyAFPod. And you can also send me an email at freakyafpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can do that now, which is dope as fuck. You'll find the link to that in our link tree, which I will also put in the show notes. Which, if you've never checked out the show notes, by the way, that's where you can find all of my sources, as well as links to everything that I mentioned. So be sure to take a look at it every once in a while. You know, there's some good shit up in there. I hope you guys have an absolutely fabulous weekend, and stay safe out there. I will see you all back here next week. Bye!